Never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, folks, to this hour, final hour of the Hagman Report. I'm Doug Hagman with Joe Hagman, together something I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. Thanks for bearing with us. We're both a little bit on edge here. Joe's going to have surgery tomorrow. He's going to be out basically the rest of the week, and then I'm going to be joined by Josh Tully during the second during hours 2 and 3 tomorrow and Thursday, and then Friday we're going to have Coach Dave Dobmeier in studio. Don't want to miss that. So please, your prayers for Joe, his surgery tomorrow. I'm sure he's going to do well. And then I'm just kind of fighting off some crud. I don't know, some chemtrail crud perhaps. Now, before we get back to the program, I got a brain teaser for you. Okay, everyone pay attention and tell me who said the following, okay? And let's see. I'll do something I don't normally do. Let me see if I know how to do this. Yeah, I can go into... I will go into the YouTube chat room, all right? So I'm there now, all right? There we go. I'm there now. All right, so the first person to answer this question gets an attaboy or attagirl. Who said the following? You ready? Mm-hmm. The Department of Justice, in my view, is run by political appointees of the president. The United States attorneys are political appointees of the president. But once they take those jobs and run this institution, it's very important, in my view, for that institution to be another in American life. That, hyphen, because my people had to stand up before juries of all stripes, talk to sheriffs of all stripes, judges of all stripes. They had to be seen as the good guys and not as either this administration or that administration. Okay? Did you hear what I just said? All right. I think I made sense. I think the inflection was proper there. Who said that?
I'm going to leave this to the audience.
Who said that? Okay. No, not Loretta Lynch. No, not Eric Holder. No, not Judge Genie. Not Clinton either. Come on. We talked about him all night tonight. All right. Martin Luther King? No. All right. All right, I'll tell you. It was James Comey.
That's the only,
yeah.
That's the only person you didn't say.
James Comey. So, and don't forget, James Comey, just so people understand here, and when you look into his background, and his appointment as FBI director, and some of the associations James Comey has. He's pretty well respected in the media law enforcement circles. He's pretty well respected by members of not just the media, but of the upper echelon of the FBI.
And enter chance.
But, go ahead, but okay, I'm just going to say this, but he's got some baggage, and when you start looking into the oversight, or the associations of Comey and what happened in his personal and professional life in the past, you're going to see some interesting things that will give you answers to what's taking place with the current investigation. Go ahead, sir.
And on the other side, when we're done with Chance here, whatever time's left, I want to start off by talking about the propaganda war throughout this email campaign, the little dribbles of hope that we were, you know, quote-unquote, given by the FBI and by FBI pundits close to the FBI. Oh, all these agents will quit if Hillary's indicted, and it looks like, you know, an indictment's coming for sure. She definitely broke the law to improve. Remember all those little nuggets of hope that we got?
Well,
we're going to get into that after we talk with Chance from AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com.
Prep information. Okay, some solid information about preparations and security.
Yeah. Chance from American Survival Wholesale is with us. Chance, welcome back to the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Blessings from the great state of Texas, where cowboys are real and 80% of the population is armed and trained.
Amen.
Okay, tonight, guys, we are going to discuss something that I think is very important. We were going to discuss preps, but tonight we're going to discuss home security, and I'll tell you why here in a minute. We're going to go into depth on the tips and tricks to keep thieves out of your home and things that you can do to limit the losses while you're away. So we would ask again that you take notes. It's very, very important as we are coming into a time of uncertainty, to say the least, and possibly a massive increase of nationwide crime. But first, guys, let's pray. Father, tonight there's a sense of frustration. A moving through the remnant. We pray, Father, for the Holy Spirit to move through the remnant, instilling peace into our hearts. We pray for our country, in which many of us have served and some have died, to keep us safe at home. Father, we pray that your will be done in the hearts and minds of those who choose to commit crimes against your children in the name of politics. Father, we pray that you keep every person listening to this prayer safe from the evil hand of the enemy. And a special prayer to our sister Jennifer, who is bringing your remnant together through the internet, through technology, to share and provide fellowship to those in need, that you bless her efforts, Father. Father, tonight we pray especially also for Joe's surgery, that it's flawless and perfect in every way. Father, we pray for Doug that he is healed of any afflictions so that he may continue to be a bright light to so many of your children. In these things we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Chance. Amen.
So just a couple of stats, guys. There, last year, there were more than 2.3 million burglaries reported in the United States. That's basically one burglary every 15 seconds, according to the FBI. This just proves how easy it is for burglars to gain entry into your home. But before you make some big purchase on a security system, I'd like to give you guys some tips. These tips are going to be affordable things that you can do yourself in a weekend. Okay. Number one, very important to get everyone involved. Hold the household meeting. Talk about security with every member of the household, including the kids. You guys should agree to a routine and should include simple rules like doors and window locks. It costs you nothing and it takes very little energy to keep your doors and your windows locked. Make it a habit to lock every door and window when leaving, entering, and before bedtime. Do not ever open the door to uninvited or unwelcome visitors. And most important, close and lock the garage door. I don't know about you guys, but you've traveled up and down your street and seen how many folks leave their garage doors wide open. That is a giant entrance right into your home. Secure your home even if you're doing work around the house in a yard. It only takes a thief just a few minutes to come in and take things from your home and put your family in danger. Use your alarm system if you have one at all times. This is interesting, and I want you guys to think about this. I want you to think about organizing a burglary. And what I mean by that is have a close family friend or a family member that does not live in your home pretend to burglarize your home. See if they can get in. See, you know, for at least 5 minutes. See how many valuables that they can find and get them out of the house and how fast that takes. Take lessons from that experience. And then take the precautions necessary to get your valuables put away. And we're going to go into that by buying a small safe, anything that bolts into the floor, safety deposit box, or stashing, you know, important things like jewelry and cash in places that most people would not think of. A lot of folks have a hidden house key. Don't do that. That's the first place that a thief would look. So under the mat, inside the mailbox, they all know that. Beneath a rock, everyone hides a house key. Don't do that. Instead, give it to a trusted friend or family member. Your garage door remotes and extra keys, don't leave those around the house. Secure them as well. Hide them if possible. I suggest that you buy four forbidding signs like beware of dog, alarm system, no trespassing, even you're under surveillance. You've seen those. Get those on every inch, near every entryway, near every exterior window, but get those signs and stickers placed. That might make the difference between you and someone down the road getting burglarized. Another tip, jewelry and cash. Never hide cash like most people do and jewelry in your dresser drawer. That's the first place the thief will look. As a matter of fact, this isn't a sales pitch, but check out our hidden wall safe. It looks just like an electrical outlet and can hold $5,000 in $100 bills.
And Chance, I don't want to interrupt you here, but I don't know, 2014, in the middle of a radio show, got a call that my house was robbed, was burglarized. And what you said about the doors, the windows, the little things you can do, as it turns out, we had normal size windows, but in the back of the apartment, there were real small windows, and they were up kind of high. If you were outside, you'd need a ladder or something. Well, one night I didn't lock, one of the little side windows, and here, somebody went to that little window, must have checked all the other ones first, because that was the last one they were able to get to, took a chair out of the neighbor's deck furniture setup, stood on the chair, and gained access to the house, unlocking the door for other friends to come in. Didn't have a security system at the time. From what I understood, the people spent 20 to 30 minutes in there, completely trashed the house, got away with some valuables, pretty much the only valuables we had in there. And got away with it. Yeah. Long and short of it, got away with it.
And if I can add two things to what you said, Chance, going back to the perimeter security in the house, the locks and doors, I would recommend, highly recommend, that everyone invest in a good lock with a deadbolt. But
one
also,
or two.
Right. But also, please, 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 especially if you've got women and children at home, and this is something that I cannot speak highly enough about, use extra long screws in attaching the door frame.
Absolutely.
And do it in a manner that, you know, attach the heck out of it. That's number one. And number two, any windows that you have, it's worth its weight in gold. 3M makes a shatterproof window film. Now,
and then people have windows on their doors. People have, you know, easy access windows to their basement. Whatever vulnerable point of access, the window, wherever the window is, that's where you start.
Yeah. Well, right. Most you work vulnerable. From the ground up, but I would please recommend having a 3M, it's a name brand, window film. Put over your windows, have it professionally installed. You can do it yourself, but you know, because that will buy you some extra extra 3-4 minutes. And if you look on YouTube, you can see how difficult it is to break through the glass with the window film. And I can't believe how many people will spend $200 on a lock and a deadbolt, and then have a window right above mm-hmm. that somebody can just, you know,
without an alarm system, right. You know, they can just break the window and unlock it right from outside.
Go ahead, Chance.
Well, no, Doug, actually, you've already hit on some things that we were going to discuss. Those are great tips. Thank you so much for that. Matter of fact, Joe, we were talking about, you were saying your home got burglarized and how that happened. A lot of people will store ladders next to their home in a tool shed. What mm-hmm. you've done is you have provided a tool for your burglar to get up on the second story of your house and climb through a window that you normally would not lock. No one would think of locking an upstairs window because we don't have Superman thieves, but if you provide the tools for them, absolutely they're going to do so. So if you have a ladder, lock it up as well. Put a big padlock on your tool shed. Don't give them the tools to break into your home.
Absolutely.
Okay, moving on. So we're going to talk about securing your weapons as well now. We've been talking about things that you can do on a budget and you're on your own time on a weekend. But I'm going to mention one thing, and I'm going to actually give you a brand name. We spend a lot of money on weapons to keep our families safe. You do not want those weapons getting in the hands of the bad guy. Number one, those are your weapons. Number two, he could use that weapon in a crime, and now you're going to be in front of a detective answering a lot of hard questions. So I'm going to give you just a few tips. If you have a safe, a gun safe, a lot of people don't do this. Bolt it into the wall or the floor into a main stud or a main frame into the floor. Bolt it down, number one. Another item that I really like, and it's called the Gun Vault Speed Vault. This device allows you and only you to have access to your handgun. It is important that you have access to it and that your children don't have access to it, but if you need it, it's there. Within 3 seconds, you place your hands on this device, it unlocks an electronic holster, and now you have your weapon to be used to protect your home. But no one else can take it. This bolts right into, again, a main stud into the wall. So it's Gun Vault, Speed Vault. We do not sell them. I highly, highly recommend that. So we talked about jewelry and cash. You know, again, you don't store these items in places that everyone does, in like a dresser.
Do me a favor, Chance. Send me yes. Send me the utility or the outlet with the $5,000, just so I could see. Roll up the $5,000 inside that and send it over to me. I just want to make sure that you're not lying to me.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Looks just like an outlet. You know, you install it in the wall just like an outlet, but it folds out, and you can store precious jewelry, heirlooms, cash, and no one would know the better. Okay, we're going to move on because I know we're going to be short on time here pretty soon. Next tip. Well, you already know this, but I'm going to mention it anyway. Light up the outdoors, people. If you don't have it already, buy and install the lighting with the infrared motion sensors, one near each point of entry. Replace any of the light bulbs when they burn out, and install timers. If you're going to go on vacation, you can install timers to have your TVs come on at certain times, lights to come on at certain times. Matter of fact, there is a device, another device that I'd like to recommend. It simulates the flickering of a TV. It's called fake TV. I think they're like $30. And you turn this device on, you put it in your window, and it looks like there's always someone home and that they're watching TV. So that's another great tip. Here's another one that we don't think about. Air conditioning units. How many people have these window air conditioning units mounted in their bedrooms and their homes? They are so easy for a thief to put a pry bar in there, break that bracket, and go right into your home. You just provided them a big hole. So make sure that you secure these with a type of bolt that don't have the Phillips head or hex head screw on them, meaning they're flat. We've all seen them. They're just flat bolts. You can only access them from the inside, not from the outside. Eliminate hiding spots. So we don't want a thief to be able to sneak up on your home and just kind of hide until he sees that everyone's gone to bed. And the way you do that is you just keep your shrubbery trimmed, you know, your bushes, keep them trimmed so that, you know, it doesn't make a spot for a burglar to hide behind. Check windows. Make sure all of your window locks are operable. Over the years, they do wear out. We paint them sometimes. We paint them and they're inoperable. So if they're broken, get them fixed, replace them. It's a very inexpensive part. Another one is doors. So, Doug, you talked about this a little bit about locks. You know, you do get what you pay for in locks. You don't want that your $19.99 special. You do want to spend the money on a quality lock set. They actually have grades. They're grade 1 or grade 2, and they usually come in a set with a hand and a dead bolt. So spend a little extra money to put a good quality lock on all of your entrances. If you have any shoddy doors like the hollow doors, get those replaced with a good quality exterior door that's solid wood. Sliding glass doors, they have a latch, but the latch, if you know, if you really tried hard enough, you could bypass that. It's very easy to do. You can buy a safety bar that goes on the floor track, and you can also buy a floor bolt that that keeps others from the outside of gaining access into your home. So
you can even use a cut 2x4 if you know, until you get the more secure metal piece or something that is metal that will fit in there. But yeah, that's a very easy for the sliding glass doors.
Exactly.
As far as being able to open them while they're locked.
And please, folks, invest if you've got French doors or sliding glass doors. Please invest in window film, shatterproof. That'll slow down the perpetrator. I guarantee it. And please do that. Go ahead.
No, absolutely. Listen, what's been on my heart is I believe that we are coming into some dangerous times, guys. And I can tell you that when the EBT cards get shut off and when folks are, you know, on the move to feed their family, you know, a good man's going to cross that line. And so I think now more than ever, you really want to pay attention to these tips, to what Doug has to say as well. This window film, I think it's a fantastic idea. I just believe that soon, very, very soon, we're going to have to take these precautions to keep our family safe. God bless both of you. Eric, you and your family, and Rhonda, God bless you. Thank you guys for having me on tonight. It was absolutely a pleasure.
Well, thank you, sir. Any specials you want to mention before we cut you loose?
Well, I got to tell you, we are, I thought about that. This information is just pro bono. The Independence Day pack was a huge success. You guys, I'm so glad that you prepared. You've got our team running around here like ants with their heads cut off. But, you know, we're going to get these packs out to you guys. It was a huge success, so thank you so much. We sent out, I think, every one of the missiles that you sent us, Doug, those coffee mugs, they're all gone, brother. So thank you for that as well. And we just appreciate supporting your ministry.
All right, sir.
Well, thank you, Chance. That was a big help to us and a way to get people the Hagman and Hagman mugs from purchasing your Independence Day pack. And we're glad to hear that the listeners supported and took advantage of the pack as well. And
just prepare,
keep coming
folks.
Up with this good stuff. Yeah. You got a chance.
AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. That's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Please, folks, prepare. Thanks, Chance.
God bless you guys.
All right.
God bless you, too.
Yeah, and one more thing, Joe, I just want to add when we're talking about this. I've noticed, and I don't know how many people out there have noticed this, but surveillance? Do you know how to spot surveillance? Do you know if someone is following you? Okay, learn how to spot surveillance. Maybe we'll do a program on that one time. But
we can do it right from your tactical surveillance manual.
Well, yeah, that's out of print, by the way, and anything you see online is not what I wrote, okay, just so people understand that. All right, anyway, there is something that Chance mentioned that I want to mention to you. How many people shop online, for example, Amazon? All right, here's a problem. Now, here's a big problem, folks. You are going to expose yourself to a potential problem. Please listen to me very carefully. All right. How many people out there have reviewed products? Many, right? You've reviewed products. Okay. Well, if you know how, and I'm not going to give you a lesson on how to do this. I'm just not going to do it because there might be bad people listening out there. But if you've reviewed a product, let's say you reviewed a pair of work shoes, I can find out who you are. I can find out the other products that you purchased.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For example, there's one guy who I particularly don't care for very much. I found out that he purchased, of all things, a fake security camera. And not only a fake security camera, those little decals that go with the fake security camera.
Like the stickers that say surveillance in progress.
Right. Let me tell you something. If you see, and you would see at my home, surveillance camera, because every square foot, and Joe can attest to this, every square foot of my home and the studio is under video and audio surveillance. But if you see a camera in my home or in our studio, you'll know it's for real. But so think about this. Anytime you review a product, you are opening yourself up to telling other people that you purchased what you purchased. So if you purchased like a dummy security camera, you don't have to review it. I could tell you that you bought it. I'm not going to tell you how. You can do it. Yeah, you're going to have to go through some steps. That's a little frightening out there. And don't use Facebook or any social networking as some sort of...
going on vacation.
Yeah, really.
Going grocery shopping. And going to the amusement park with my family today.
And disable geotagging. Okay.
Oh yeah.
All the metadata from your images that you upload to Facebook or any social platforms.
You know, you brought to mind when I a few years back I went to go. My grandfather went to stay with my aunt in West Virginia, and I had to go pick him up, and I took my cousin with me. It was about a 5-6 hour drive, but every town that we went through, every city we went through, he would be on Facebook on his phone, and it would automatically register, oh, he just entered such and such county or such and such town. And I was thinking in my head, why would you do that?
You know, it's too bad that we didn't have that electronic capability as investigators when we were doing this. I mean, we did it at the very end. Yeah, but
right now it would be a whole other ball game.
Oh, sure. But the fact is this, folks, and I'm being very, very serious about this. When you review a product online, I can find out your identity through, let's just say.
Now, clarify review. When you say review, do you mean purchase or?
Let's just, no.
When you were searching for something, you put it in your cart, we'll say, you take it out.
Okay.
I don't want to get too specific.
Yeah, because I don't want to give people ideas out there.
I guess define review.
Okay, let's go with Amazon. And let's say you buy a pair of work boots. All right, and you, so you're under the name. Well, let's say you're using the name A, period person. Okay, so A, in other words, it'd be like Adam, person right. or whatever. That's not your real name. So you buy the boots and you review them. Okay, by doing so, you open the door to me being able to look at your past purchases, and I'm not going to tell you how, and what you've reviewed on other media mm-hmm. sites, yep. and I can also see what's in your wish list.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's why they're there.
You see what we're saying here? You're exposing yourself. Now, yes, so, but now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't review products, I suppose. It just means be smart about it. If you were going to buy a dummy video camera, don't review that. And certainly if it's in your wish list, get it out of there. Okay? So, because if I wanted to, this guy known as A Person, through my cursory investigation, I know basically where he lives. I know what he's purchased. In fact, I know he operates a motorcycle. I know he also has a 9mm. And the reason I know that is because he purchased some off Amazon accessory for. I'm not going to go into what it was. And I know where he lives. Did I say that? Anyway.
Not the living part.
So I know that if I'm after this guy, I know that when I approach his house, that camera up in the front of the door is just a dummy camera. Chances are. I don't really know that, but, you know. And then you could also too, if you rate dog food. If there are little cans of dog food the size of, you know, a half dollar, you know that this guy doesn't have a 130-pound German Shepherd. Right, I mean, use your head. On the other hand, if a guy buys, you know, dog food by the 55-gallon drum, and he's got one dog, you know, chances are pretty good it's gonna nip you in the butt. All right. So, but most importantly, with respect to social networking, please, 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 please. I mean, I never ever post any pictures except studio pictures, and you know. Mm-hmm. You know, things that even if they knew the location, it doesn't matter because they'd have to deal with a whole nother set of problems, believe me. And also, there are people, and especially on when you get into Christian, let me rephrase that, when you get into what would you call the social sites that dating sites?
Dating sites.
Okay. When you get into dating sites, there are people who stalk those dating sites and look for the vulnerabilities of women. And mm-hmm. trust me when I tell you this, one of the biggest untold stories about these dating sites is the number of assaults that have taken place.
Remember the Craigslist killer? And Craigslist is a site, as I understand it, for like everything. You know, find jobs or post for jobs, buy stuff like eBay, but you have to be very careful. I mean, there have been right. people who, in our area, I think there was one was killed for a car they were selling. That might have been a national story, but yeah. The dating sites are a whole other aspect.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Aside from the commerce sites.
Well, and this is one thing that I learned as well. When you input your personal information into a data site, you have to read the terms and conditions. Some of those dating sites will sell off certain parts of that information.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you're a blonde hair, blue eyed female that is petite. Eric just weighed in and said, "That's me." Would you say? Yeah. Anyway, now they'll sell that information off to third party vendors to market clothes for you. Okay, and sometimes the third-party vendors have no way of they don't check the backgrounds of the people that they hire, and I have seen a couple of instances, and I'm not sure of the how deeply problematic this is, but I've seen a couple of instances where there have been cases of stalking and worse from that third-party information being sold. So please take this very seriously. Now, about the what Chan said too. And I'm a big proponent, too. If you've ever been inside of a house, and I have, when somebody's kicking in your door, and it's not the cops, all right? There's a lot of stuff that goes through your mind. Right? Actually, it wasn't my house. It was my neighbor's house. And a long story. That stemmed from the other neighbor, domestic dispute, which had nothing to do with any one of us. It just, but bottom line is, you'll wish that you had reinforced your door, and you'll wish that you also had put the time, taken the time to put, you know, those long screws through the frame and into the actual stud of the house, and again, the window film. Man, please. One more thing, too. Most people, if, and this includes law enforcement, if someone is searching a house, most people don't look up. You ever notice that? Eric, yo, most people, they don't look up. The keep that in mind. Whereas they may look down and they may make a second look at it, and despite what, I mean, this is not to take anything away from Chance at all. I do think those fake outlets are a great idea. Just place them properly and even plug something into one. But, okay, but also consider hiding places above you, because most people, when they search your house, don't look up. Just saying. And that's really weird. It's kind of a weird thing. But I hope these common sense things. Oh, and the last thing. Your car. Folks, make sure if you are a normal, everyday person, you're not involved in surveillance, you're not a law enforcement officer, make sure that you have working interior dome lights and that you have a remote starter. Or not a remote starter, but a thing that can remotely unlock your vehicle.
And don't leave things like laptops or cell phones
or cameras,
or even change visible in your car. But don't leave the others anything valuable in your car at any time. Especially, I mean, unless you're driving in it.
And if it's warm, don't you dare leave your dog in there, because I'm going to come and hit you upside the head. Right? Actually, when lady goes everywhere with me, yeah, baby. I have a bottle I bought from PetSmart, and it was like $4, and it turns into a water dish. It's pretty cool. So even if it's cool out, I always have it filled with water, and then you open it up and put it on the center console or somewhere, and then make sure your windows are down a little bit. But anyway, so there we have it. Okay. I mean, how was that, folks?
Awesome.
All right.
Let's get into some news as we close out this Tuesday program here on the Hagman and Hagman Report. Again, want to take you back to Iraq. 250 dead. The worst and most deadliest attack, making it the deadliest such attack since the 2003 U.S.-led invasion.
Uh-huh.
This is how bad this terrorist attack was. The death toll from Sunday's suicide bombing in the Iraqi capital, Baghdad, has risen to 250. The Iraqi government says making it the deadliest such attack since the 2003 U.S.-led invasion. A lorry packed with explosives was detonated in the Karada district while families were shopping for the holiday, making the end of Ramadan. The so-called Islamic State has said it carried out the suicide attack. An earlier estimate for the attack put the total of death at 165. Iraq remains under the official state of mourning following the bombing. The destruction of the
mission
area
accomplished, by the way.
Yeah. The destruction of the area was all but complete. Bewildered local residents have held candlelight vigils and prayed for peace. They go through in this BBC article, major attacks that have happened in Iraq since 2003. And as I said, it goes back to you have a detonation that killed more than 200 people in 06 in November.
Right.
Multiple suicide bombings targeted a Yazidi community in northern Iraq, killed more than 500 people. Then you have the U.S. And U.S. military recruits are killed by ISIS at a former base. Up to 1,700 military recruits were killed, Iraqi, in 2014. But this is the attack that ended Ramadan, as we saw a number in the last 2 weeks of Islamic State-tied terrorism, from the Orlando shooting to Istanbul, Turkey, to Baghdad. You also had 30 people killed in, I believe it was just north of Aleppo, one of Syria's most northern cities. A car bomb killed at least 30 people.
It's coming
there.
It's coming here. It's and coming here.
This well, was scary. Just in a short period of time, like in the last week. You had the Istanbul, you had Iraq, and you had Syria. And thankfully, we had a safe July 4th here over the weekend. I guess you could say safe. When you look at what's happening in Venezuela, and folks, we've been talking about this a lot, not in the last few weeks, but before this, as the situation with the food shortages continued to get worse there, the inflation of the money, what was it, 700% inflation in right. this year. They predicted another 1,200 or 1,300 in the following year. They were showing lines of people waiting 12 to 14 hours for food. Parents had to, if they wanted to buy diapers or baby supplies, had to show proof of a child.
But wait a second. We don't need to prep. Don't prep. Don't
well, listen
worry
to this.
About it.
Venezuela's democratic facade has completely crumbled. Today, Venezuela is the sick man of Latin America, buckling under chronic shortages of everything from food and toilet paper to medicine and freedom. Riots and looting have become commonplace. Now, folks, remember, there's been a media blackout in Venezuela.
There you
about
go.
Venezuela.
Yep.
Because we've had, in the last 2 weeks, a U.S. intelligence operative say that he expects the inflation here in the U.S. to increase by 395% in the next year. You've had globalists and other people who are known for foreign policy ties and Bilderberg Trilateral Commission ties say that you're going to see the price of food double here in America with the Brexit results and the yep. the popularism of Trump. They're talking about a perfect storm and something that might happen under the Obama administration watch before he leaves office and the new president is sworn in, especially if that is Donald Trump. But this article goes on to explain how the Hugo Chavez regime was founded on a fascination for progress worldwide, attracting its share of another world as possible solidarity activists. Today, as the country sinks deeper into the Western Hemisphere's most intractable political and economic crisis, the time has come to ask some hard questions about how this regime, so obviously thuggish in hindsight, could have conned so many international observers for so long. Step one was his manipulation of elections. Chavez realized early as so long as he kept holding and winning elections, nobody outside of Venezuela would ask too many questions about what he did with his power in the interim. He has also mastered the paradoxical art of destroying democracy one election at a time. Venezuela has gone to the polls 19 times since 1999. Chavez has won 17 of those votes. The regime has won by stacking the election authorities with pro-government officials, by enlisting their support in a
this is what we see
vat
this is what we see Sanders
lavish
going for
petro-financed patronage by intimidating and marginalizing opponents. It's worked for more than a decade until it didn't work anymore. After every election. And does this sound familiar to anybody? After every Venezuelan election under Chavez, another little piece of the Constitution was chipped away. Courts and oversight bodies were stacked high with supporters, checks and balances stripped, basic freedoms eroded. The key was the torrent of oil dollars that poured into the country during the long oil boom from 2003 to 2014, complemented by massive debt now estimated at $185 billion. An enormous import-led consumption boom created an illusion of harmony even as the economy crumbled just out of sight.
And translate that or transfer that into America today.
Exactly.
With the buying purchasing power of the U.S. dollar. And consider, okay, the violence.
And the trade deals. This gets into this, you know, as you keep going. But the oil, the petrodollar.
Yep.
Again, in the middle of, and this is what, from what your research showed, that was trying to, they were trying to do to Russia, and I say they, I mean the globalists in the U.S., through the petrodollar, through OPEC, and through the lowering of oil prices, trying to bring in inflation and hyperinflation into the Russian ruble in order, and we saw big losses last year with the ruble in the beginning of this year, and things have leveled out more. Well, I'm not sure
this
what the
is an orchestrated takedown, though. No. I mean, don't be fooled about I mean,
but there's a blueprint here.
Gold and silver prices soaring.
Yeah, silver was almost back at $20 an ounce. Right. Gold was at $13.56, I believe, today. And I usually don't check that, but it was on Steve Quayle's site when I was reading some of his stories. This article goes on to talk about. So that was part A, and in part B, they say. When oil prices fell, the illusion ended and the government fell back on plan B. Allow elections to go on, but strip virtually all power from every institution it lost control of. Now, think about this in terms of the American politics. And it goes into the media. What happened with the media? The government learned early on that shutting down dissident media carried major political costs. So it turned to cronies to buy up crucial outlets and rein in their journalists. As dozens of critical journalists who've been intimidated or forced out of their job can attest, media freedom in Venezuela today is a shame. The airways have been scrubbed clean of dissent. Under the Castro tutelage, Chavez successfully cultivated a pro-poor, anti-American posture. Endless professions of concern for the poor, followed by furious denunciations of the imperialism. But this too was a charade. We know now that the fiery speeches professing unconstitutional love and support for the poor were a ruse to deflect attention from the wholesale looting of the state.
Well, bottom line is it's happening here. This is the Saul, and look, this is the Saul Alinsky doctrine. This is what Hillary, Diane Rodham Clinton, this is the same, exact same philosophy, the Marxist philosophy that she talked about, that she's an adherent of, a proponent of, and will implement. This is exact, what you see taking place in Venezuela, and what you see taking place and had taken place in Cuba, not so much because of the embargoes and such, that but you get the idea, the philosophy there. All of this is what these people, the globalists, including but not limited to the Clintons, this is what they want.
This article from Bloomberg from yesterday was very important. Global negative yield pool deepens as treasuries rally to record. And
pay attention to this, yeah.
Yields on 10-year and 30-year securities close at all-time lows. Now, these are the most dependable. The yields in the bonds, treasury bonds, are the most supposed to be the most dependable purchase for long-term investment. This is what the foreign governments buy. This is what China buys. This is what, you know, they buy the 10 to 30-year bonds or yields. But these now are closing at record lows as the growing pool of negative yield debt worldwide boosted the appeal of U.S. securities. Benchmark yields fell to unprecedented levels as signs of a slowing growth in Europe ended five-day rally across global stocks. A U.S. jobs report, July 8th, may offer clues to the direction of the Federal Reserve's next interest rate move, it says. And it says the probability in futures markets of tighter U.S. policy this year plunged after the U.K. vote last month for Britain to leave the European Union. The dimming prospect of a Fed hike has spurred a torrent of demand for treasuries, with almost $10 trillion in securities in the Bloomberg Global Development Sovereign Bond Yield Index less than zero, up from about $9 trillion a week ago. In addition to experimenting with negative interest rates, Some monetary authorities aboard are buying government debt, reducing the supply for investors who count on fixed income assets. Well, but they go on to say,
look to
where they're going.
Well, okay. The bonds are down, the most stable of all instruments. Mm-hmm. So you got precious metals that are rising. Silver is above 20. Right now it's 20.43. Wow. Gold is 1372.40. It's up. Silver is up 44 cents today. Gold, I don't know what, but now we're looking at a flashpoint right now. The window of opportunity to purchase the precious metals, you've heard this before, it's closing.
And as Steve said, okay, if you have the your water, if you have your food,
yes,
don't, he says, what does he say? Don't buy any precious metals unless you have at least $1,000 worth of food.
Yeah, another preps, right.
Right, stored up. And right. I would urge the same, because nobody knows exactly when this thing is all said and done with our economics. And reading Alice Bailey's The Reappearance of the Christ, it talks about the coming Christ or the coming Avatar coming to a one world order, a world that is already prepared for his coming.
And there you have it. Now, notice that sentence structure, one that's already prepared for his coming. What takes place?
It's a global
first
order that's prepared for his coming, meaning the system of one world governance, of a one world religious, monetary, and political machine will already be in place. That beast system that we have read about in Scripture so often will be here, and it will be functional from what Alice Bailey says.
And to those people,
and folks,
who
you can
say,
read it for free. Just look up the Reappearance of the Christ PDF on a search engine. You can read it for free.
Reappearance of the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Alice Bailey, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
The founder of Lucifer Trust.
Yeah. And look, to those people who believe, who don't believe that they have to prepare, good on you. You know, great. That's fine. I mean, if at this point that's the way you feel, there's nothing more than we have to talk about. But for those people who do want to prepare, well, you know, take this opportunity to do so. Look, gun violence, they're going to use that, the powers, to take away, to confiscate weapons.
Did you see it born?
33.
Matt Damon,
he's
in Australia today saying, I dream about the day that there's, you know, total confiscation of guns in the United States.
I know. The guy's an idiot. But look at Chicago. Okay, 33 people shot over the 4th of July weekend.
That's
33.
Low.
Well, 13 people were shot over 17 hours in the city, included a 15-year-old boy and a 16-year-old boy, 17. I mean, you can go on and on, but I guess what I'm saying is, when you look at the reasons, you know, why is this? Oh, why is this? Well, it's because of the availability of guns, so we have to confiscate the guns.
Yeah, and then Chicago is a gun-free zone. But for Memorial Day, I think there was over 104 shot over Memorial Day. I don't know what it is that...
this was just a smaller window of time. I didn't take the entire weekend of that.
Okay. This last piece of news is important. It deals with Planned Parenthood. A judge rules Kansas can't cut Planned Parenthood's Medicaid money. Kansas cannot cut off Medicaid funding for two Planned Parenthood affiliates, a judge said Tuesday. U.S. District Judge Julie Robinson in Kansas City, Kansas, issued the temporary ruling in a lawsuit filed by Planned Parenthood of Kansas and Mid-Missouri, the organization's St. Louis regional affiliate.
So what's that mean?
The Department of Health planned to cut off funding by Thursday for health services offered at Planned Parenthood facilities, such as exams, cancer screenings for poor patients receiving health coverage through the state's Medicare program. Medicare funds do not cover abortion, they say, but federal laws have blocked attempts by other states to cut off Medicaid funding for Planned Parenthood, including Arkansas, Arizona, Indiana, Louisiana, and Utah.
It's a ruse.
In its defense, the Department of Health cited a dispute in December over its attempts to inspect the handling of solid waste at Planned Parenthood clinic in Kansas, which it later resolved. The department also cited allegations against Planned Parenthood in Oklahoma, Texas, that they call unfounded. And Planned Parenthood basically argues that it's a women's reproductive health right, and that it is the taxpayer's duty.
It's all a ruse, folks. Look, it's not about health care. It's about the killing of unborn children. It's about the shedding of innocent blood. It's about people who are using, or it's about the power of the blood that's being shed to create what we're seeing today. This empowers Lucifer. I'm telling you right now, it's all about the blood. Mm-hmm. It's all about the murder. It's all about the child sacrifice.
Absolutely.
Now, tomorrow, we're going to be getting into some very important information. You're going to have surgery in the morning. Wish him well. Say a prayer for Joe.
And if you see me here tomorrow, I didn't have surgery, which I don't think that will happen.
I'll tie you down and do it myself for you.
Well, I'm definitely going there. I want to thank each and every one of you guys for your prayers, emails of support, and all the kind thoughts out there that I've received. And I want to thank you guys for tuning in tonight. And don't forget, Josh Tolley will be guest hosting 8 to 10 the next two nights with my father.
Yeah.
And Coach Dave will be here Friday.
Have a great night, everyone.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.